Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huffines Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in a language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Hello and welcome to the weekly edition of the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance, our weekly audio podcast. We're so glad that you took the time to download and listen to us today. You know, it's the first of the year, and it seems like every year at this time, people are talking about their health, and in particular about how to lose weight. And so we like to bring you practitioners that work in the field every once in a while to talk to us about the real world and what's really happening out there. And today is one of those special episodes, and I'm just so pleased to have a special practitioner with us today. We have Ms. Faith A. Lightfoot with us, who is the president of a company called Lighten the Load. That company deals primarily with women's and children's health issues, and she's been working in this field for over 20 years. If you recognize the last name there, yes, we are related. I'm so pleased to say that she's my wonderful wife, and we have had many wonderful dinner conversations about weight loss over the years. Her big focus in her company has been on weight loss, especially for those that have a lot of weight to lose, again, in particular in women and children. Faith has a degree in exercise physiology, so she has education to back up what she does in her practice. And so, welcome to the podcast, Faith.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to finally have you on.
Thanks.
But as I said, this is the time people start thinking about losing weight. So let's just get started with that. You know, people suddenly wake up on January 1st and say, geez, I'm 100 pounds overweight. I'm going to lose all this. How fast can they lose? How much weight loss is safe? We'll just start with there.
Well, I'd like to back it up and say I don't know why people wait till January 1st to wake up and realize they need to lose 100 pounds.
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, the fact of the matter is all you have to do is look in the mirror. People know they're heavy. It's whether or not people want to deal with the fact that they've got to make some changes in their life, and it just seems to be that January 1 is that magic day.
Right.
Well, but we both know what people set up on January 1 by the third week of January has gone away.
In many cases.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about change.
Right.
But it's about making small changes. And what we recommend with people is that they realize that, you know, how do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time.
Mm.
If you're inactive on December 29th and 30th, January 1, you want to just see if you can get your sneakers on.
Right.
And then start the process.
It's not about going out and running 5 miles the first day, is it?
Well, you know, they can if they want to die. The reality of it is that someone who's 100 pounds overweight couldn't run. But what we find is that people want the quick fix. So your question of how much is safe weight loss is, well, certainly we know 1 to 2 pounds a week. But certainly if you're heavy, you're going to lose a little bit more in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that people don't often want to make those changes.
Mm.
They want to pop the pill. They want to drink the liquid. And they don't want to make the changes with the mind, with the body, and with the food.
They want to take the easy way out.
Isn't that the American way?
Well, for many cases, but not often. Sometimes people do buckle down and do that.
Some do. Right. Many don't. Most don't. If they did, we wouldn't have the billion-dollar weight loss industry that we've got with all the trinkets and trash and garbage that people are selling on the television.
So do none of those things work?
99.9% of them don't. Well, let's take a little inventory. Treadmills end up being very expensive clothes hangers. You think about all of the cheap gadgets that the folks from Hollywood are out there hawking, put their name on it to make more money, and people are stupid enough to buy the crap that ends up underneath their bed or in a garage sale. And what is absolutely amazing to me is that as Americans, we just don't figure this out. That stuff isn't going to motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
To lose weight, it really is internal. You've got to start making some changes between the ears to recognize that that's where you're going to stay the course. And it's in baby steps, and it's going to take time. You didn't gain 100 pounds overnight. You're not going to lose it over one evening or 1 month or taking a pill. And you're not going to take it by going down onto the street here in town and be injected by some physician who's trying to make a buck off of people.
So what kind of changes do people have to make mentally or adjustments before they can start to lose weight and keep it off?
Well, when we see, whether it be women or children or families come in, the fact of the matter is that there's a breakdown in the way they deal with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Food for most people is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to cope with life, if you use food as a way to deal with stress, that's going to be your go-to place. Some people shop, some people drink, most people eat.
Mm-hmm.
And our challenge is that we can't get people up off the sofa because they're too busy watching Dancing with the Stars and all that other crap that's on the television set where they think is, oh, so important, is going to change their life. The reality of it is that it's not. And we're a spectator society. And everyone's so busy watching everybody else be active. I mean, when was the last time you met somebody who went out and took a dancing class because they were inspired by Dancing with the Stars? So we have a lot of women wearing the I'm so busy badge. And they don't have time to cook. They don't have the desire to learn, which amazes me because we have more food porn shows on today where people are sitting around watching other people make food, but we don't find people in the kitchen making it. What we find is that they're driving through the fast food place.
Right.
And those adults are feeding their children because
right.
we're so busy with putting children into activities to fill that void for what they're not getting in the home.
Right.
And so we've lost the sense of moms being at home and cooking. And for the most part, it is falling upon the women to cook.
Yeah.
And
well, that's one of the things that you've told me is so many women share with you that they don't know how to cook.
And that's a cop out. Look at all of the shows we've got. We
right.
have a lot of ways that people can learn, to learn how to cook. How many books are out there about learning? You have to have the desire. It has to be a priority. And what we find is that being healthy and having healthy children, although people will tell you it's important, it's not. It's not on their value scale. What's on the value scale is going to work, making the money to buy the stuff to give the kids so that their kids can have more. Instead of cutting back, putting on the sneakers, and walking around town or walking through the neighborhood with the children. And what we find with the families is that the parents don't want to make the changes. So if the parents aren't going to make the changes, then the children aren't going to make the changes because that 8-year-old is not driving to the fast food joint.
Right.
The 8-year-old's not doing the grocery shopping. That's the responsibility of a parent.
Right.
And certainly we have people, and anyone can look at the airports or look at the schools, and I have people say to me, "Wow, Faith, I went to school and I saw these kids and they're so obese." No kidding. I mean, this is nothing new, but when I started in the early 90s, this was not a challenge. We didn't have this challenge.
Right.
And so this is getting worse, and all the research in the world isn't helping the problem, that people are disjointed in the families and they're not learning with a skill set of how to deal with family issues, so they go to food to shove down problems, to shove down challenges, to deal with life instead of having conversations. So we don't have coping skills anymore.
Right. Let me, we'll come back to the coping skills. One of the things that you and I have talked about is the lack of home economics in the schools as
right.
well. So there's not that formalized educational process where children can learn to cook or can learn about healthy eating like that. Do you think that's going to continue in the future, or is that going to be a problem with us forever?
Well, of course it's going to be a problem with us forever because no one's putting home ec back into the school, just like they're taking PE away.
Right.
And so you've got young girls who, if their mother didn't teach them how to cook, look, I'm one of nine. My mother wasn't bringing us all into the kitchen to have us have a cooking lesson. What she said was, get the heck out of the kitchen so I can make dinner. And so I had to take it upon myself to learn how to cook. And
right.
was it easy? No. You make mistakes. Who cares? You still eat the food anyway. It's better than the stuff that you're getting at the drive-thru.
Right.
And
cheaper, too.
And cheaper.
Yeah.
And people give us that argument all the time. Well, it's less expensive for me to go in and go to Taco Bell. Well, certainly it is. But at the end of the day, we in the challenge in our country is that we are going to be paying for the people who are going to the drive-through 4 and 5 and 6 times a week,
right?
Because it's going to fall down into the healthcare system, and then who's taking care of these children? And quite frankly, I believe that as a parent, if you are not making a meal every night, if you're not being active with your children, that's a form of child abuse, because you are setting your child up for, and we know there's discrimination with jobs. Kids can't run, kids, their performance, they can't think. That should be a number one of right. importance, and it's not. So it's coming back to the parents.
Right. And I know that you're a licensed provider of a program called Shapedown.
Yes.
And we'll talk about weight programs here in a few minutes anyway, but let's talk about Shapedown for a minute. And that's focused on children. But why is that a unique program, and what makes that successful where some other programs aren't successful?
Well, Shapedown has been around for well over 30 years, and the premise and the guidelines of it is that we're bringing the family in. We used to have, when I started my practice years ago, I would have mothers call me and say, I want to bring in my child, and can you fix my child? Our role is not to fix a child. And as a licensed provider for Shapedown, what we find is that by bringing in the parents who have their own workbooks and the children have workbooks, it's 10 weeks of being able to work with families so that they understand. We have a lot of parents who have a lot of problems and challenges with their child's weight, but feel very guilty about admitting that.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to discuss that is very important. But the children also have to become a part of this cohesive family unit in making sure they have chores. The majority of children no longer have chores in the household. Mm-hmm. We have moms running around doing all of the work, with the I'm so busy badge on, and look at me, aren't I wonderful? And the fact of the matter is, no, you're not wonderful, because you don't put chores into your child's day. And a child who's 4 can figure out how to go pull laundry out of the dryer and fold it. We've got to make children a part of the family, and they're not anymore. So the program brings the family together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of families don't want to participate. Too painful.
Mm. They don't want to make the change.
Of course they don't. It's easier watching Dancing with the Stars.
So let's get back to the mental changes. We've been talking about children for a while. Let's talk about adults. Let's say that you have an adult that says, okay, random or not, January 1st, this is a good time. I'm going to make a change. I'm making some mental adjustments. I want to make this change. I want to become healthier. I want to be like the people that I do see that lose 100 pounds. What's your recommendation? What's their first step? How do they get going with this?
I really believe that if someone is making a very conscious decision to make those changes, I recommend that you find an exercise physiologist who does personal training.
Okay.
At least in the beginning.
Now let's clarify before we go on. I mean, you said an exercise physiologist that does personal training. That almost sounds a redundancy. What do you mean by that?
Well, you can certainly go out there and find somebody who does personal training who looks great in spandex.
Right.
But we've got to know that people have qualifications.
Okay.
Because this is more important than the person who's cutting your hair. I mean, you have to stop and think about it. This is a person who essentially could cause you harm.
Right.
They're asking you to do different things.
Right.
And I have met and I've worked out with personal trainers who truly don't have the training and can push you past the point of what you should do.
Right.
And in the beginning, if you've been inactive, having somebody who has been in the industry a while, has got that education, and this is their passion. You need to find someone who's very passionate about this, because not all exercise physiologists are, and I'm an example of that. You want to find someone who loves this, and then you want to sit down with them and share your goals,
mm-hmm.
what you think you should be able to lose, what are you willing to commit financially. You can train with someone once a week. You can train with someone twice a month. But you've got to find someone who's willing to work with you. And the reason why I say a personal trainer is so important is because they're going to help you find what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you want to get out and get healthy doesn't mean that you can do what the person sitting in the cubicle next to you can do.
Right.
We all have different contraindications with regard to that. So find that person and make sure you like them, make sure you like being around them, and make sure you ask them about their credentials and how long they've been doing this personal training.
Well, and you just touched on a really important point, and that is that there is no one set exercise program for everyone.
Right.
There's some generalities, but depending on what person's preferences, what they like to do, what they're able to do. That will vary the exercise program, and the best way to find out about that is to have someone that's qualified to guide you through that process.
Certainly, and you want to make sure that you talk to them also about not just the strength training in your session with them, but what are you also supposed to be doing cardiovascularly so that you can walk around your neighborhood, you can get that in, or if you're at a facility and you can get on the treadmill, you've got to have both. You can't just do strength training.
Right.
You've got to also be doing the cardiovascular component. But you want to learn what skill sets are best for you so that if you decide at one point you want to have a home gym, you're going to be able to go know what to do with that. You know, I do some corporate work, and it's amazing to me. We have places that have gyms, and they're empty.
Right.
And people aren't in the gyms because they don't know how to use the equipment, so they're scared of it.
Right. Yes. And that equipment can be intimidating, especially some of the weight machines that are out there now.
Sure it is. And then people don't want to harm themselves.
Yeah. What's the use of doing strength training if you're trying to lose weight? Most people think about doing kind of long-term aerobic exercise to lose weight. So why would someone want to do strength training?
Well, we know that, of course, muscle burns more calories than fat. And certainly, you want to be toned.
Mm-hmm.
You want to develop and have that lean body mass. But certainly because, especially for women,
mm-hmm.
we need it just from the osteoporosis standpoint. As we age, we need to make sure we've got that strength component taken care of. And if someone's listening and they say, well, I can't afford a personal trainer. Well, you know, a lot of the facilities out there do group personal training sessions. They find that very motivational. We've got one in town here. They do that. And so the cost is very nominal.
Right.
But you've got the input of an expert, hopefully, and you're getting the benefit to the body with the strength and tone. But the cardiovascular, I just can't emphasize that enough because a lot of personal trainers will slide on that.
Right.
And you certainly need to have both.
Right. So we've made this decision. We're going to be active. We're going to get healthy. We have found a personal trainer who has the appropriate credentials, who's an exercise physiologist, and they've helped us get our activity program in place. Is that all we're going to deal with, or is there another facet to this that we should deal with?
I always recommend, and that's why we've got registered dietitians who work with us, because for the most part, if you're somebody who's really making a commitment to this change, what you eat and how you eat is very important. There are a lot of quack diets out there. There are a lot of people who've written and taken a lot of nutrition information and then worked it into a book with a lot of misinformation. Today, unfortunately or fortunately, we've got the internet, and if you blog, all of a sudden you're an expert.
Right.
And I can't emphasize this enough. There's a huge difference between a registered dietitian and someone who's a nutritionist.
Right.
A registered dietitian who spent 4 years in college, has done an internship. You want to find a registered dietitian who works in the community or sports arena, and not a tear sheet dietitian who works only in the hospital, because it's the population, it's a different population. But to be able to sit with a registered dietitian who can look at what your eating plan is, understand what you need calorically, and we also recommend, and we do RMRs, resting metabolic rate, you know, analysis, so someone knows what their caloric intake should be. Everyone's different.
Right.
And although we've got great apps, free apps, you certainly want to know that you've got all the right information to get started, or you get frustrated. People get frustrated. They quit. They throw in the towel 3 weeks later, and they're back on the sofa.
Right. Now, a point I wanted to make before we leave the registered dietitian, in some states, as a matter of fact, and we've got listeners all over the country, there are some states where it is not legal for a non-RD to provide an eating plan. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And certainly, I know in our state here, and what I help to really focus and educate people on is a nutritionist can, someone who calls himself a nutritionist, can go online and take a class and get a piece of paper, and now they're called a nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
A registered dietitian, in RD, LD is what someone should be looking for. That's the individual who has that license and has been trained in this arena. And that's why I even tell my friends and folks in the exercise world, if you're an exercise physiologist, you have no business giving one-on-one nutrition advice because that's not your area of expertise.
Right, you don't have the training in it.
You don't have the training.
We don't want untrained individuals to give exercise advice. Why do we put up with that with nutrition?
Well, that's right, but we certainly do. The challenge right now is we have physicians and we have a lot of people outside of the arena of exercise giving that activity information because everyone's told it's so simple.
Right.
But you can be harmed and you can be hurt by someone telling you to do the wrong thing.
Right. I mean, you're describing so far, to this point, a team effort. at losing weight. So we've got the personal trainer who's qualified. We've got a registered dietitian who's qualified and has experience. Anybody else that we should add to our team?
Certainly, you need someone who's going to be able to help you work with what's going on between the ears.
Mm.
Because if you've got the personal trainer and you've got the registered dietitian, and at the end of the day, your boss walks in and tells you you've got to work 2 hours later and you're frustrated because you have an event to go to, you're probably going to go to the food if you're an emotional eater.
Mm-hmm.
You have a fight with someone, you go to the food. You're sad, the food. You're stressed, the food. And so it comes back to you've got to be able to stop and identify how you're using food in your life. Food is one purpose. It's fuel.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost that in this country. We use it for everything else. And so if you can stop and work with either a wellness coach, there are some great therapists that work in this arena as well, but it's money well spent, because if you don't identify that, you're going to continue to have challenges with your food issues.
Yeah, what would you say to someone who looks at you and say, okay, we've got a three-person team here that's helping me lose weight. Okay, I may lose weight, but this is going to cost me a lot of money to do this.
Well, what we say to people is quite simply, this is your health. You can be a billionaire. If you don't have health, that money's not going to do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see is that people spend their money all the time on garbage.
Mm.
Garbage food, the trinkets, the trash, the bigger screens, the newer cars. At the end of the day, this is about your health. And if you can't afford a personal trainer, you can certainly talk to somebody in the industry who can talk to you about putting on your shoes and going for a walk. But this is about value and priority. Do you value your health?
Mm-hmm. And that poor health is going to cost them more down the road anyway.
It does. You can go to a community center and find a group class for a very inexpensive fee.
Right.
But it has to be a priority, and it has to be something that someone enjoys, that's fun for them, because if it's not fun, you're going to stop doing it.
Right.
But this is about what's the long-term effect.
I know that there are states around the country that are looking at charging people more for their insurance if they are of a certain body mass, larger size.
Mm-hmm.
We came from a state like that, the state employees that were a certain size, they had to pay more for their insurance because it costs more to support them in the healthcare industry. And I think more and more of those things are happening down the road. So people can look at it as out-of-pocket expense right now, but it's going to be much out-of-pocket later on if they continue to be large.
Well, and the challenge we have right now out in the field is that most people are expecting free programs.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, if it's not covered by insurance, if it's not covered by Medicare or Medicaid, they don't feel that they should be paying anything.
Mm.
They want free. And unfortunately, that's the path I think we're going down, and I'm not sure we're going to win that battle. And that's the challenge.
So they're giving up responsibility for their own health.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
But that's been going on for quite a long time. It's just now that it's becoming, I think, a little bit more to the forefront. We have a lot of more documentaries done on the issue of weight and food and whatnot. But we are heading down a real slippery slope, and that's what we see out there. And that is why we've got people in the field who are basically giving their services away to bring people through the doors of their gyms and their wellness facilities, because people no longer value it. Back in 92, when I started my first business, I was charging $400 a person for a 12-week program that met once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get $400 a person now if I stood in my head and spit nickels out of my mouth. People aren't going to pay it because they're looking for the place that gives it them for free.
So how do we overcome that? Do we overcome that?
I don't think we can. I don't think we can. I think that right now, 3-4 years from now, stop thinking you're going to go into the restaurant and sit behind a booth, because the human American population is going to be so large, they're not going to be able to cram enough people into a restaurant, so they'll just put table and chairs because people can't fit behind them. I mean, when was the last time you sat down at a booth and you're leaning so far into the table because they have to make the booth and the table space bigger? Get onto an airplane. Airplanes, the airline industry is not going to charge for people who are now taking up two seats when they've only paid for one. Nobody wants to stand up and say, we have got a massive, huge pandemic in this country, And we've got to say some things that maybe are not so PC, but we've got to say it. And no one wants to do that. No one wants to step on anybody's toes. No one wants to be perceived as being ugly. But the reality of it is that the kids that are walking through my doors are beyond obese. Pediatricians are afraid to talk to their patients because pediatricians don't want to lose the patients. The patients don't want to hear it. The parents don't want to hear it. So pediatricians feel like they can't say anything. Well, years ago, if a pediatrician or a physician looked at you and suggested something, you probably did it.
Right.
It doesn't happen like that anymore.
So you're painting a rather depressing picture of this whole thing, that we're on a downward spiral, that it's going to take massive action to pull out of. Are you thinking a massive action on the part of the government, or is this individual? Or
individual. Government's got nothing to do with this. This is our own personal responsibility to get healthy, to make a conscious decision as to what's important to you in your life. Is it your health? What really amazes me is that people will go out and spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for a piece of a car, an automobile. They would never think of pouring sugar into their gas tank. Never. Because, oh my gosh, it might harm that automobile, which is something that can be replaced. But people are pouring sugar into their bodies every moment. People are eating dead food, food that's overprocessed, things that are microwaved. And there's not a, with all this information and all of this research, we're not making a headway. And that's what's so frustrating to the practitioners out in the field. And that's why everyone's banging their head up against the wall going, what do we do? How do we help educate people? And how do we help make the change? We have schools that are feeding kids pizza night and Chick-fil-A night and McDonald's night. Well, what message are we sending there?
It's like we have all this information, but we don't have knowledge and wisdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
We've lost that. And we're not listening to the generations that have come before us.
Right.
And people aren't out plowing the fields.
Right. We've talked a lot about weight loss and some of the societal implications of what's happening. As we close here, as we come to an end here, what would be your take-home message for people?
You have to make the decision. You have to take personal responsibility for your own body, for your own health, for what's going to work for you. Place your money where your mouth is and go to the experts. Go to people in the field who know what they're doing. Like I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of books out there, a lot of books that are poorly written with the half-truths. You know, get up off the sofa. Make a plan with your family. Make it a number one priority. And what I'll say to parents is if you're taking your child to a soccer game, here's an idea. Put sneakers on, and as your child is playing on the soccer field, walk up and down the soccer field on the sidelines so you're getting your activity.
Mm-hmm.
But if parents don't make this a priority, if they're not the example, our children aren't going to follow.
So then it doesn't matter how much we are concerned about our children if the parents aren't active.
That talk's cheap.
Yeah.
You know, put your time and your money where you really do believe it's important, and that is for your child and for your child's health and your grandchildren's health, because we know this just spirals down through generations. And I really am not a doom and gloom person, but I am a person who lives in the reality. And this is the reality of what health professionals are seeing in our field today.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure.
To be with us today. And thank you for pointing out that we all have to make that decision to be healthy on a daily basis. And I want to thank all of you that are listening for making the decision to download us and listen to us today. We hope you will share comments and questions with us on the website.
Dr. Lightfoot, don't forget about our t-shirt question.
Oh, that's right, Cheryl. Go ahead and ask that question.
Who are three types of professionals that can help someone become healthy? Be the first to email in with the answer, and you will receive a new 2012 Huffines t-shirt.
So be sure and join us next week for another wonderful podcast where we'll have a t-shirt question, and you can win one of those new nifty t-shirts. In the meantime, we hope you stay active and healthy during the week.
Thanks for listening to the Huffines Institute Weekly Sports Medicine Podcast. This podcast was produced by Kelsey Sachs and Cheryl Marek and made possible by generous support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huffines family. This podcast is published under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. That means you can't sell or change it, but feel free to give it to everyone you know and to talk and blog about us. And in case you were wondering, our openings and closing are provided by johnmilesproductions.com, providing voiceovers internationally. Music was provided by Dave Zeltner. Find him on the web at davidzeltner.com. And just so you know, we love hearing from you. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.